I'm Marty Moscow-Wayne. Welcome back to Radio Times.
I actually look forward to performance reviews. I did the youth beauty pageant circuit, and I enjoyed that quite a bit. I really enjoy being judged. I believe I hold up very well to even severe scrutiny.
Well, unlike Angela from NBC's The Office, most cubicle dwellers dread the annual performance review. It's supposed to give employees feedback on how they do their jobs. But how effective are reviews in motivating workers? What are the criteria to determine how well someone is doing their job? Is an annual review better than more regular informal conversations about job performance? Here to answer these questions and more are Sam Culbert. He's a professor in the Anderson School of Management at UCLA, co-author of a book titled Get Rid of the Performance Review, How Companies Can Stop Intimidating, Start Managing, and Focus on What Really Matters. And I guess we know where you stand on performance reviews, Sam Culbert. Nice to have you with us on Radio Times.
Good to be with you.
Also with us is Brian Kropp, and he's human resources practice leader at CEB. That's a management company. He's worked for a variety of research institutions and taught courses in economics, policy analysis, and quantitative methods at the University of North Carolina. Brian Kropp, nice to have you with us on Radio Times.
Thanks for having me.
So does anybody, let me put this first to you, Sam Culbert, and I think I know what your answer will be, but does anyone enjoy, look forward, support performance reviews?
I would think only if they're very naive.
Very naive, how come?
Because they're fraudulent, they're bogus, they're dishonest, and they just promote bad management. They make it difficult for good managers to hear what they need to hear, and they allow bad managers to intimidate and have their way, not necessarily good for people and always bad for the company.
But are you saying there is no such thing as a good performance review? Is that what you're saying?
There's no good thing as a manager-dominated one-way feedback. Feedback and exchange should be two ways. And with the performance review, it makes it very difficult for the employee to say what he or she honestly believes. Makes it difficult for a manager to learn what she or he needs to do to be a better manager.
Well, I will pick up on that. Brian Kropp, let me get you in on the conversation. Where do you stand on these? And I'm focusing largely on these annual performance reviews. Where do you stand on those?
You know, there's a lot of truth in what Sam's saying. We survey about 1 million people per year. And one of the things that we find when we ask them about their experience with a performance review, more than 80% of them find that it wasn't a valuable experience for them, either because of the amount of time it took, the feedback that they got, the way that we measured performance. For a variety of reasons, most employees aren't very satisfied with what they're getting out of it. Now, with that said, we have seen a variety of organizations reinvent the performance review in a variety of different ways to actually change that dynamic, to have situations where it's not only valuable for the employee in terms of the feedback that they've gotten, but also valuable for managers and peers and leadership in the organization to make sure that they're knowing and learning about who are their most important and highest performing employees in today's very different work environment. So while in most situations it's not a very good story, there are lots of success stories out there where companies have reinvented the process and have changed the dynamic within their own company.
Brian, just picking up on something you just said there, are managers or even companies, corporations, are they asking the wrong questions? If you look at the kinds of questions that are included in performance reviews, is there something wrong with that?
There's something wrong with a variety of pieces in it. One, the questions. We tend to be very backward-looking within most of our performance reviews. So it's on an annual process. By the time we do it, it's a couple months after the previous year. So you're providing feedback to employees about something they did 10, 11, 12 months ago, which at that point is not very germane. So there's a timing issue that's associated with that in terms of it being really backward-looking. The second big issue is that as work has become much more collaborative, much more interconnected, much more horizontal across a company, that we're not even asking the questions of the right people. So managers today have less insight into what their employees are actually doing. They, on average, manage more people, stretched across more things, and so on. And employees spend a lot more time with their peers and coworkers. So not only is there a problem that it's backwards looking, there's a second problem, which is we're asking the wrong people to evaluate the performance of our employees as well.
Are you saying that coworkers should be evaluating each other? And then, Sam, I'll get back to you.
Yeah, absolutely. When you think about today's organization, it's just much more collaborative. It's much more about who you work with and how you get work done with them. And what we're seeing is leading organizations taking some of that feedback, either formally or informally, into the actual evaluation process. And organizations that are doing that well are actually much more effective at not just recording what employees' performance looked like in the past, but actually using that information to motivate what employees' performance will look like in the future.
To you, Sam Culbert, is there a need for some kind of, forget performance review, but some kind of feedback for employees about the kind of job that they're doing?
Feedback, of course. And should people be talking about what's going on and what's coming up and talking about their difficulties in performing their job effectively? That's wonderful. That's what people should be talking about. But the word evaluation keeps getting into the mix. And evaluation pretends as if one imperfect person can score accurately another imperfect person on their imperfections. Well, that's subjective as can be. And when you and as far as teammates and peers talking with their with one another about their performance, they're talking about it all the time. There's feedback taking place 100% of the time. People don't take in the feedback. Why not? Because they don't trust one another enough to understand that who the other person is and whether it's accurate. If there's going to be feedback, there needs to be two-way exchange. It shouldn't be anonymous, which is what takes place amongst peers in a lot of places. That's divisive. And it ought to be about the work without the pretense that anybody can be 100% in anything that another person's judging him or her on.
Are you saying that it's because we are imperfect people, as you say, it's impossible to have an honest conversation or even evaluation about how someone does their job?
No, Marty, I think that people can always honestly give their opinion as truthfully as they understand their opinion. But that's what it is. It's an opinion. And when you tell people what you think they are doing insufficiently, you also should include why you need it a different way, so that we're talking about what I need from you, not what you're doing wrong. And we're talking about why I need it and what I can't do or what I can do and why I need it in a certain format. We're not talking about the fact that you are not the mirror image of me.
Ah, interesting. I mean, Brian, it's picking up on what Sam Culbert says, which is that performance reviews by their very nature are subjective. You agree?
You know, in many ways they are. If you think about how work was done in the past, where it was very easy to measure the number of widgets that you made or number of rocks that you move from one pile to another pile, in those sorts of situations, performance is very easy to measure. It's how much did you move, how fast. But today's world that is, as I mentioned, much more collaborative, it's about the contribution that you're making to an organization through and with others. And we've done a lot of work here and identified the people that are really great at this, and we call them enterprise contributors. And they're not only good at their tasks that they have to do, but they're also really good at working with other people. And the challenge of the performance management process in many cases is that it doesn't take into account how you're helping other people perform. Now, the question about is it subjective or not, and is it negative, and are there biases that are there? Yes, it's true. It happens in a lot of situations. But we've seen organizations reorient the questions that they're asking, not to say, is this person good or bad, but asking questions like, who helped you the most in terms of accomplishing your goals this year? What other employees across the organization provided the best feedback to you to help you get better? So by shifting the conversation from backwards-looking and evaluative to much more forward-looking and feedback-oriented and aligned with what you need to accomplish, you can actually take advantage of this time period to create a really great and promising conversation about how to improve performance in the future. Now, there's not a lot of organizations that are there, to be honest. But we've seen enough success stories in the research that we do, and we work with about 3,000 organizations across the globe, to pinpoint which ones are just better at this and have come up with new ideas and new approaches to reinvent the performance process, performance review process, to get the biggest benefit out of it.
Do you like that forward-looking look to a review or a conversation about a job performance, Sam?
Yes. In fact, in my book, I talk about the alternative to performance review, and that is the preview. I think people should be talking about what's happening in the future or what's going on right now continuously. And I think they should be talking in a collaborative way, not a judgmental way. And to be collaborative, they need to talk in the first-person pronoun about what I need, not about what you're doing. And, yes, I think there should be the manager's skin should be in the game instead of the manager being the evaluator. She or he ought to be a team player, and that they should be also judged, if there's judging, judged on their ability to help the other person, their direct report, to be maximally effective. That's not what people report taking place today, especially when there's performance reviews. People are talking about the manager, an imperfect manager, reinforcing his beliefs or her beliefs about their imperfections because they're able to allege that all the problems are being caused by the employee.
But what I hear you saying is, and I think this happens in certainly in some places, is that that direct employee gets to evaluate their manager. Yes, Sam?
I think that the word evaluation is really the problem here. Evaluate? No. One person's conflict avoider is another person's team player. It is an interactive exchange. And people have to own their needs, not make their judgments. So that's what's – and I don't see in these performance conversations managers walking away with insights about how they can do a better job in supporting the employee, both in terms – and that, and the other issue is employees don't often – no, the majority of employees do have no – do not believe that their managers – understand them sufficiently to calibrate their strengths, because with performance reviews, the conversation's only about people's deficiencies.
Hmm.
Yes, they mention strengths, but most of the time in those conversations, the strengths are just setups to allege that they're being objective, and then in comes the criticism.
Well, hold on to that thought, only because we have to take a very short break. That's Sam Colbert. He wrote a book called Get Rid of the Performance Review. Also with us is Brian Kropp, human resources practice leader at CEB. That's a management company. We have much more to talk about after this very short break. We'll be right back.
What would you say you do here?
Well, look, I already told you. I deal with the damn customers so the engineers don't have to. I have people skills. I am good at dealing with people. Can't you understand that? What the hell is wrong with you people?
Oh, we just couldn't do a show without playing a clip from Office Space. That's the 1999 movie, employee performance review from that movie. And again, talking with Brian Kropp, human resources practice leader at CEB, a management company, Sam Colbert, professor of management in the School of Management at UCLA, co-author of Get Rid of the Performance Review, How Companies Can Stop Intimidating, Start Managing, and Focus on What Really Matters. Lines open at 1-888-477-9499. Send us an email, radiotimes@whyy.org, and you can tweet us at WHYY Radio Times, and we want to know what you think of the performance review. Brian, let me go back to you and picking up on what Sam was saying right before the break. I mean, his sort of sense, first of all, we have to get rid of the word evaluate. I'm not sure if there's a better word or word that you would like to substitute, but also this sort of notion that performance reviews tend to be sort of a one-way street.
You know, there's a really interesting example that we can point to here. Juniper Networks, which is a technology company in California, they've reimagined their performance review, and they actually call it a career conversation day. There's a couple things that they've done that are actually really interesting. One is that they've gone away from a score for employees. So you don't get are you 3.5, a 4.2, or whatever it might be. So they've gotten rid of that part of it. And you're either a J player or a non-J player. But what they do is they talk about the connections that you've got in the organization, the capabilities that you have. Are you aligned with is your career aligned with the direction that the organization is heading? So that's a company that's done a really great job about reinventing their performance review process. And the words that they've actually picked by calling it the career conversation day really paint just a totally different picture for their employees about what they're trying to accomplish. And when Juniper's looked at their employees and surveyed them after they've had this sort of performance experience rather than an evaluation, having a career conversation that's forward-looking and aligned with the direction that the company's going, what they find is that the vast majority of their employees actually say it was a really valuable experience for them on two fronts. One, it gave them great feedback about what they've been doing well, what they need to get better at to be successful in the future. And then two, if their personal interests don't align with the direction that the organization is heading, it creates an opportunity for them to explore different career opportunities, potentially inside other roles within Juniper, or potentially outside as well. So that's an example of an organization that's picked a different name for it that's gotten great results, but in many ways focused on the same concept.
Do they tie pay and performance? I mean, if it's a career conversation day and you're either a J player or not a J player, is there money associated with that?
Yeah, what they've actually done is they've created a lot more discretion for managers about how to allocate bonuses and compensation increases. And there's a couple things that they found that are actually really interesting from it. By creating that capability within the managers and giving them a bit more discretion, the managers have actually become much more bought into the process and are much more invested in terms of making sure they're distributing rewards the right way. They've also spent a lot of time helping train and educate and improve the capabilities of those managers. So it's not as if you can just get rid of scores and get results. There's a lot of things that go along within that. And when Juniper's gone back and looked at it, what they've actually found is they've had better differentiation in terms of distributing bonuses and raises to employees.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an example of a company that's done just a really tremendous job about reimagining what this process could look like, and it's gotten great results from it.
Sam, as you've been saying that you don't like this word evaluate, do you like career conversation day? Is that a more sort of benign and helpful way to think about this?
Well, I think you put your finger on it, Marty. Career conversation isn't performance review, is it? It has to do with a discussion about someone's goals and aspirations, and one individual, or if it's a group of people, talking about their guesses of what might prepare a person for that based on their knowledge of the individual. But it's not an evaluation. Juniper, in particular, got to this place because they studied a lot of neurological research that shows them when the conversation gets to evaluation, the brain waves kind of freak out, and that people get themselves physically and mentally into defensive postures. So, no, you can call it whatever you want, but it doesn't make it so. Words don't make behavior. If it is a person with more power talking to somebody with less power, and the conversation is only about the behavior of the person with the less power, and the person with more power, career, that's even worse than money. We're talking about my judgment of what your future should be, and in most cases, in companies, it doesn't take place with the individual's desires and goals very accurately in the mind of the evaluator. know, it's just another way of, in most places, look, there are individuals who can do things wonderfully right, but we're not talking about the extraordinary individual. We're talking about the standard situation called performance reviews, and whether they take place once a year or six times a year, where one individual gets to say, gets to call another person's behavior with some kind of metric and pretend that his or her judgment is objective, and it's not. Anytime you start talking about evaluations, you should be talking about opinion, taste, inclinations, and what I need rather than what you're doing wrong. That is, you can waltz around the issue, but the basic issue is managers using the performance review in order to dominate and take control of employees and get their behavior, the employees' behavior, in a format that's convenient to the manager and is not finding out from the employee how the two of them as a team, this is your forward thinking, how the two of them a team can do much better together in getting the company what the company needs. This is should not be a personality issue. Hmm. It should be two people who are getting paid to do something wonderful for the company and having a constructive conversation that allows them to maximally leverage their unique potential resources for the company.
Brian, let me go back to you. And what Sam seems to be talking about is the fact that managers look, I guess, for this opportunity to be critical of their employees. Has that been your experience? Because I would also think that if you're a manager and your employees don't measure up particularly well, that can reflect badly on you, and that managers maybe exercise some kind of grade inflation when it comes to these reviews.
Yeah, you know, there's certainly some managers out there that are focused on punishing their employees and use this as an opportunity to do so. While that happens, when you actually look at the data of it, that's not the most common case. The much more common case is that managers just don't have the skills and capabilities. They don't intentionally mean harm. They just don't know what to do better. And so that's where the problem manifests more often than not. And so as you think about it from that perspective, what managers want are high-performing employees. They want their employees to accomplish more. They want them to be more productive. Because you're right, Marty, that reflects better on them.
Sure.
When your business unit has employees that are selling more, producing more, working faster, you as the manager or leader of that team get a lot of credit for it. So it's actually in your interest to improve the performance of your employees.
And now, go ahead.
I was going to say, it's one of the challenges that we've seen, especially coming out of the global financial crisis, is that the average manager, though, today is actually managing a lot more people than they were before. So when you look at that average of averages and across industries, roles, and those sorts of things, the average manager today, compared to about 2007, is managing 50% more people.
Huh.
So they've just got more people to do this across, which makes their job much harder. So the solution in many ways is not just get rid of everything. It's much more of a solution of, given the way that work gets done today in a more horizontal, collaborative way, given that managers are stretched more than they've ever been, what can we do to actually improve the process? And that's where leading organizations are asking questions about what to get better here.
And that's Brian Kropp, again, human resources practice leader at a management company called CEB. Also with us, Sam Culbert. He's a professor at the School of Management at UCLA, co-author of a book called Get Rid of the Performance Review. And we are talking about, I'm going to use the word performance review so that people know what it is that we're talking about. But what are the ways that it can be improved or perhaps thrown out the window and completely redesigned? You can join the conversation by calling us at 1-888-477-9499. I see comments coming in, radiotimes at WHYY.org, and you can tweet us at WHYY Radio Times, and we want to know what you think about performance reviews. Let me get, it looks like Jose from Burlington County to join us on Radio Times. Hi, Jose, go ahead, you're on the air.
Good morning.
Morning.
What I'm finding is that these performance reviews are really designed in management and control of employees, rather than improving the company standing in competition. It's really, like your guest is saying, a top-down approach to management rather than a collective collecting resources to improve the company's standing and improve the company's market shares. But it seems to be really a personality issue. When I manage, I give my employee a copy of the review. I fill out a copy. They fill out a copy, and we both sit down and discuss it. And what does the company need at a particular point in time? Rather than, you know, just a standard review, here it is, and take it, sign it, and that's the end of it.
Jose, thanks for the call to Radio Times. Sam Colbert, anything you want to add to that?
The same. Brian's been talking about surveys. The survey also shows that the same employee, when she or he has multiple bosses, gets different evaluations from each. And that the best way to get a better review, if you're getting bad ones, is to get a different boss.
Can you do that?
The factor is in all these reviews. And I think that Jose might be a wonderful human being and really be thinking and have established a trust with one or more employees where they can tell Jose honestly, you got me wrong. You got the issue wrong. It's how I respond to you, not how I am talented. But that doesn't take place in most of the conversations.
Brian, let me go back to you. What happens generally to performance reviews? Are they filed away? Are there something that people turn to on a regular basis to sort of remember what it is that they're supposed to be doing at work?
You know, there's a couple things about it. It's even before the performance review, there's the whole goal-setting process that occurs, you know, 12 months before that happens. And one of the challenges with that is, as the world changes and moves very quickly, that the goals that you set at the beginning of the year are rarely the goals that you end up pursuing across the course of the year because something has happened in the meantime. So one of the reasons why the conversation and the performance review itself isn't particularly valuable is we haven't been updating throughout the course of the year what we actually expect out of our employees in an ongoing conversational way to make sure those employees know what's expected of them and how that changes at the end of the year. And because of that time issue, when you get your performance review, more often than not, it comes out of left field around things that you didn't even know you were supposed to be working on because that was so misaligned from the goal-setting process earlier. So we're seeing some companies evolve and do things differently. So The Gap, for example, the clothing retailer, they've actually instituted a monthly conversation that managers and employees have to make sure that they're aligned throughout the whole year and that there aren't surprises. So as you think about why the performance review doesn't work and why it's such a painful experience, and Sam's right, when you look at the neuroscience of it and they do brain imaging as you're getting reviewed about backward-looking things, there's some neuroscientists out there that actually are able to show how the surface area of the brain literally shrinks and absorbs less information when that happens. And it does that because it's a defense mechanism, because we don't like to be punished. We don't like to be beaten. We don't like to feel that pain. And there's an interesting piece of work out there that has been able to show that the pain you experience during a bad performance review is about as physically painful as it is hitting your thumb with a hammer. So there's real pain that's experienced there. But those are some of the reasons that we're being evaluated against the wrong things. We don't have the right information. And the question is, how do you solve it in a lot of ways?
Well, and does it work? I mean, generally speaking, the general performance reviews, this is to you, Brian, does it motivate people? Does it get a better performance out of people?
You know, if done in the right way, it can. So if you're having a conversation with an employee, which is, in one case, here's what you did wrong, full stop. If you have another conversation with an employee, which is across the next 6 months, here are the sorts of things that I want you to work on. And based upon where you've been successful or less successful in the past, here are the things that I think we need to get better at. You can imagine those two different conversations, and the second one can actually drive performance forward. And so there's a real fundamental kind of question that organizations want to be asking themselves in the space, which is the purpose of the performance review to be a system of record to keep track of what people did, or is it a tool that we want to use to help motivate employees going forward? And if it's the latter of those, there's a lot that we can do to make it happen. Another good example is Herbert Smith Freehills, which is a law firm That's based in both the UK and Australia. And if you can get performance reviews to work in a law firm, you can probably get them to work, you know, almost anywhere. And what they actually do during your own self-review, you have to answer a set of questions about who are the people that helped you the most. And that helps you reflect on the contributions that other people made to you to realize that you're part of a bigger team. And those sorts of moments of self-reflection, when you can bake them into the performance process, actually can then motivate performance going forward, because people realize who they worked with and who was actually important to them to help them achieve their own goals.
And Sam, are you a fan of self-reviews?
Self-review to who?
Of yourself.
Let's just say, I know that Brian, I looked up his bio, he's a married person. How about sitting your wife down, Brian, for a career conversation and telling her, giving her a little assessment about what she should be doing differently and how that's going to help her performance around the house? People don't want to hear this stuff.
Yeah, but a relationship, I mean, I think a relationship at home is different from a relationship that you might have at work, where there's a different hierarchies and people have different job responsibilities, things like that. Sam?
Well, again, when it starts with management, should be a question, not a solution. And the question is, tell me, how can I help you? What do you need from me so that you can perform more effectively for the company? Start it that way. And then let the manager talk about how she or he can provide that. If it's possible for the employee to say that and not damage their upcoming fate. People need the feeling that they're being heard and being understood. That's your opportunity in any manager employee conversation.
Well, let's take teamwork
in the company. The manager and the employee should be the team. Don't talk about employees doing a better job of teaming up with peers. There's reasons why that's not taking place. Everybody needs to work it out for themselves.
Well, we are talking about performance reviews. We're going to take a very short break, get back to our conversation. And lines are open at 1-888-477-9499. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Name, please.
Megan Sinclair.
What is your title and position?
I'm a photographer.
You're a photographer?
Yes.
The show needs a photographer.
Yes.
All right. You seem defensive, are you?
A little bit.
Why?
Because you're questioning my position on the show.
Megan, in no way do I want you to feel nervous about this.
Okay.
This is just to decide whether or not you should be fired or not.
And that's Conan O'Brien giving a performance review to a member of his talk show staff. And we are talking about performance reviews with Brian Kropp. He's a human resources practice leader at a management company called CEB. And with Sam Culbert, co-author of a book called Get Rid of the Performance Review. And we have calls coming in at 1-888-477-9499. Also, some comments from our Facebook page. You can also send us an email, radiotimes@whyy.org. And you can tweet us at WHYY Radio Times. Let me get Jason from Germantown to join us. And Jason, go ahead. You're on Radio Times.
Hey, Marty. Excellent show.
Thank you.
So my question is there a difference, maybe more or less success, based on the size of the company or the organization? I feel like I've only really worked in smaller organizations, and when I have performance reviews, I actually don't mind them so much because I feel like I get to have a very person-to-person, face-to-face conversation about what I'm doing. And I feel like if in a larger company, you're generally going to have like managers piled on top of managers and managers, and I feel like your review might not mean as much. Do you find different success based on the size?
Jason, thanks for the call. Let me toss that to you, Brian Kropp.
Yeah, what we find is that there's success in both small and large organizations. The key to the success is, can you actually see the contributions that people are making? And sometimes in larger organizations, that the contribution that you make is so far away from the impact that actually occurs, it's really hard to see what it is. And so an advantage of smaller organizations or smaller teams or smaller units is that it's just much easier to map the contribution to the impact. And that's where it tends to be a bit more successful. But it's also dependent upon managers actually following that trail to see what is the contribution that people are making to the performance of the organization.
Let me read an email comment. This is actually from Virginia, and I will toss this to you, Sam Culbert. Virginia says, my performance review is given by a manager who knows nothing of my skills and how I perform on a day-to-day basis. For the business I work at, I think it is the biggest waste of time of anyone's time, and I would love to give my manager an honest review on the job that he does. This really speaks to your critique, Sam Culbert, of performance reviews.
It certainly does, and I think a lot of people feel just that way. I think the real issue is, and it's more basic than we've been talking about it, the whole thing is inside out. Managers don't need a meeting, a scheduled meeting annually, to tell employees what they want different and what in that person's mind is off. Now, what we need more than an opportunity to tell employees how to improve is we need a process for telling managers how to improve, and that's what I think this email is speaking to. And we should if we're going to have these conversations, they should be restructured so that managers have an opportunity to learn. Right now, it's structured all cattywampus and. It's always structured that the person with less power gets to learn what somebody else thinks. But for companies to succeed, they got a lot more riding on management improving, and they're wasting this opportunity by focusing on the employee when the focus ought to be, as I said earlier, on what can I do for you to help you manage to operate better, to be more effective, and in the process, let me tell you what I'm learning that I can use with other people. That's what the focus should be.
Well, let me toss that back to you, Brian, and then we'll get back to our callers. I sort of hear coming from Sam Culbert that looking at this performance review, it should be much more management centered, and perhaps even managers are the problem. Can you speak to that?
Yeah, you know, there's several organizations out there that will take into account, a really rich account, of the upward feedback that employees are able to give to their managers. Now, sometimes that's done anonymously. Sometimes it's through other systems that are out there. But the idea of getting feedback to your manager's manager and having a system that enables that is hugely important for a couple of reasons. One, if that manager is underperforming and bad, then that manager's manager needs to know about it. And this sort of system can be one of the most effective ways to do it. Secondly, that manager's manager, if you're making an outsized contribution to the organization that your direct manager doesn't know about, having them see the true impact that you're having actually is really important in terms of driving performance of the organization overall. And you know, if you were to boil it down, getting managers better at this would be hugely helpful. But that's not the only solution, and that by itself isn't likely enough to really improve performance across the organization. It's about getting those managers better. It's about having a system that is much more forward-looking. It's about getting feedback and input from all of the different people that you work with nowadays. So the typical employee is working with about 60% more people now than they were 10 years ago. Yeah. So in this much more collaborative, horizontal work world that we live in nowadays, it's getting the full picture of what's going on with an employee's performance. Getting managers better certainly helps, but that by itself is not going to be enough to really have a world-class performance management system.
Let me get, looks like Jeff from Princeton to join us on Radio Times. Hi, Jeff, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi, Marty. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
Show.
Thanks.
I've been on both sides of the performance evaluation, and on the two sides of that performance evaluation were the one where I would prefer to have been hit on my thumb with a hammer because it was just a painful exercise for lack of just it being a painful exercise. There was no real value or worth to it. And on to Sam's point, I had a manager who he never actually gave us a physical performance evaluation. He approached it as a conversation, and he also said, here's how I can grow. I want your thoughts on this. And he really asked for my input as a driving force versus him being the one wagging the authoritarian finger at me. He was very much participatory in it, and I excelled in that company, the first company where I said I would rather have my thumb smacked with a hammer. I was actually doing very well, and after my performance evaluation, my performance went down. And I wonder if each of the Brian and Sam can speak to the personality of the person giving the performance evaluation, I think, is a huge factor in these performance evaluations.
Well, Jeff, I appreciate that. The call to Radio Times. Sam Colbert, do you want to take that?
Well, I think one of the deeper issues, again, is that if you're going to have a conversation, the objective is learning. And learning, I'm in the classroom. I've been in the classroom continuously for the last 40-plus years. And you have to realize that it isn't what the professor's teaching. It's the questions that the individual in the classroom has and what she or he is making out of the information. So to be a better professor, to be a better to facilitate people's learning, you really need to know what's on their mind and be other sensitive, other focused. And that's what doesn't happen during these charades as being good learning and feedback. It is the politics of the situation supersedes all the opportunities for good conversation and the building and creation of trust, because that's the best tool any manager has. A manager has no other tool better than developing a trusting relationship where people can talk candidly about their pressing personal issues and concerns and effectiveness, what they need for effectiveness. That's in my book what I talk about in how to construct the performance preview, not the review, not the evaluative discussion, but it's the teamwork discussion of how you and I can do a better job together of getting the company the results is counting on us to deliver.
Well, Brian, let me go back to you and you know, thinking about that employee who is chronically late. You know, they don't complete tasks. I mean, there are certainly problem managers. I'm not avoiding that part of the conversation, but the fact that if you have a problem employee or an underperforming employee, can a performance review help that, or does that require some other kind of intervention?
You know, potentially. One of the challenges with managers that we see is more often than not, the people that become managers are the people that did the best job at the job that they now are managing people for, rather than people being the best managers that can have these sorts of conversations and provide this feedback. You know, it's interesting when you look at professional sports, the best athletes rarely make the best coaches. And when you do the analysis there, and what you actually find, it's more often than not the people that struggle, the people that were a lower performer that end up being better coaches in professional sports. And similar in managing in a lot of ways, the people that had to get the feedback, get those experiences, sometimes become better managers at the end of the day. But you're right, there's plenty of times when employee performance is not where it needs to be. In those situations, there is a huge responsibility on the part of the manager to solve that problem, either by providing the direct feedback about what that performance looks like, and certainly not just passing that employee around the organization, because that's not only unfair to that employee, but it's also bad for the company. Now, when you provide that feedback, sometimes it's legitimate that employees just don't know what they should or shouldn't be doing.
Right.
But then there's other employees that, frankly, are just not that good. And in those situations, there's a responsibility on the manager to have that employee transition to the next stage in their life. And that's a hard job that most managers try to avoid, because they don't want to have the tough conversation when the tough conversation is needed. And that's a skill that we need to build within our managerial community at most organizations.
I mean, it sounds like the skill to showing someone the door. Is that what you mean there, Brian?
Sometimes you have to.
You
know, if the person is not the right person for the company because they don't have the skills, the capabilities, they don't show up, those are times when you as a manager have to have the responsibility and have that tough conversation to say that, you know, you're better off working someplace else than here. And it's hard, and nobody wants to do that. But sometimes you got to do it.
Sam, you want to weigh in on that? That's the hard part of managing, don't you think?
Nobody is good on everything. Each person has to find his or her own way to accomplish a task. And I don't think you can have any quality conversation, valid conversation, until each participant understands why the other person does it the way she or he does. But I believe that up until the day that the employee transfers out or leaves the company, up until that day, the manager's job is not to evaluate. The manager's job is to find a way to help that individual do their very best for the company. And up until that moment, when the person's no longer in that manager's employ.
Well, on that note, I have to thank you both for joining us today in Radio Times, talking about performance review. Sam Culbert, thank you very much for joining us on Radio Times.
My pleasure. Thank you.
You're welcome. Professor in the Anderson School of Management at UCLA, co-author of a book called Get Rid of the Performance Review, How Companies Can Stop Intimidating, Start Managing, and Focus on What Really Matters. Brian Kropp, thank you very much for joining us on Radio Times.
Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. He's a human resources practice leader at CEB. That's a management company. He has worked in a variety of research institutions and taught courses in economics, policy analysis, and quantitative methods at the University of North Carolina. Well, we were sad to learn that Beau Biden, former Attorney General of Delaware, son of Vice President Joe Biden, died on Saturday night. He was just 46 years old and had been battling brain cancer. He was a guest on Radio Times 3 years ago to talk about his work protecting children from abuse and ensuring that veterans got the benefits they were due. In this excerpt, he talked with great affection about his dad.
My dad speaks from the heart and from the head, and he tells people, he answers the question. He answers the question, and it's sometimes surprising. Maybe it surprises people sometimes, but that's what he's done for 37 years, and he answers questions as he believes them and as they're asked. And I think that's what leaders do. I think leaders want to, and that's what I learned from him, is that when you're asked a question, and especially in public life, you answer and tell people what you think. And so I think my father is an incredible orator, speech maker, and leader. But even more importantly, Martin, you know, this won't be a surprise to you, he's an incredible father. If I'm half as good a dad as my dad has been to me and my brother and sister, my kids will be in good shape.
Well, and as we all know, sadly, you know, your mother was killed in an accident. A sister was killed in a car accident as well. And you were hurt, as were your brother.
Yeah.
A difficult time for your family.
Well, you know, yes and no. Yes, obviously, but no, because I had an aunt who moved in with me when I got home from the hospital, grandmother who helped raise me. And then about 5 years later, I had another mom enter my life.
Right.
And you've met my mom. And so I've been blessed with two moms. So I, you know, it's, I look at things, tough things happen to a lot of families, and I look at it and I think, how lucky I was.
Yeah.
I was incredibly, incredibly lucky to have my dad be the rock that he is, and my mom come into my life, and many other people, my aunt, my grandmother, and my whole family envelop me and my brother.
I can see how much that means to you, even today.
Yeah, yeah.
As you tear up.
No, but the emotion you might hear in my voice is a function of it being recognizing how lucky I am.
Beau Biden talking about his family, a former Attorney General of Delaware, the son of Vice President Joe Biden. He died Saturday night after battling cancer. He was just brain cancer. It was just 46 years old. Go to whyy.org/radiotimes, and you can find out much more about this program, including how to download a podcast of the show, how to find us on Facebook, how to follow us on Twitter. Adam Staniszewski, the engineer for today's edition of Radio Times, the show produced by Susan Greenbaum, Debbie Bilder, Emily Bryant, and John Ahrens. I'm Marty Moscoen. Thank you so much for joining us.